It is Thursday, July 23, 2026, and the map of global conflict was just completely redrawn. And not with tanks or, you know, embargoed microchips or physical borders, but with an API request.
Yeah, it's really wild to watch unfold in real time.
Right. We are looking at this geopolitical landscape that has just shifted overnight. The front lines of a Cold War are now literally invisible strings of numbers. Because just days ago, a Chinese AI startup released a new model that matched the performance of a multi-billion dollar American model. And now the U.S. Treasury is stepping in, threatening unprecedented global sanctions. So, great, let's unpack this.
The speed of this escalation is, I think, what makes it so historic. Because, you know, while the immediate shockwaves are hitting financial markets in Silicon Valley, the underlying shift is just profound. We're witnessing the exact moment the definition of a national security asset transition from, like, physical hardware things you can track on a radar to pure borderless software logic.
Exactly. And to understand how we got here, we're pulling from a pretty massive stack of sources for today's deep dive. We've got breaking news excerpts, some really dense technical architectural analysis, macroeconomic reports, and geopolitical timelines. Our mission today is to cut through all that jargon and explain exactly how one API request escalated into a geopolitical crisis and, you know, what that actually means for your digital future.
Yeah, and to really grasp it, we have to look at the timeline of what industry insiders are currently calling a five-day miracle, or I guess a five-day robbery, depending on which side of the Pacific you happen to be standing on.
Right, right. Let's wind the clock back just over a week. So July 15, 2026, the American AI lab Anthropic officially launches its new frontier model, Fable. And based on the architectural teardowns we have, Fable is an absolute behemoth. I mean, Anthropic spent an estimated $500 million just to train the initial weights. We are talking about over 1.8 trillion parameters. Yeah.
Which, just to be clear, requires an astronomical amount of compute power. But they didn't just throw raw data at it, right? The training involved highly complex constitutional AI methodologies.
Okay, break that down for us a bit.
Sure. So they utilize pipelines like RLHF, that's reinforcement learning from human feedback, where actual human graders painstakingly rank the AI's answers to, you know, teach it nuance and safety. Then they scaled that up with RLAIF, where other AI models act as the graders.
Got it. So it's not just about making it smart.
Exactly. The goal is to shape its behavioral alignment so it can handle highly sensitive, complex analytical reasoning without hallucinating or breaking its guardrails.
So they basically built this $500 million superbrain. But then, and this is the crazy part, literally 5 days later, on July 20, Moonshot AI, which is a startup in Beijing, releases their new flagship model, Kini K3. And here's where the tech world basically lost its collective mind.
Yeah, the contrast is staggering.
It is. Because Kini K3 is tiny. It only has 70 billion parameters. That means it runs at an 80% lower inference cost. I mean, it's incredibly cheap to operate. Yet when they ran it through the gauntlet of industry benchmarks, it went toe-to-toe with Fable. It matched Fable on MMLU, which, you know, tests 57 complex subjects from organic chemistry to law. It matched it on GSM-8K for math. And it matched it on Human Evil, which tests multi-turn Python coding logic.
Right.
How on earth does a 70 billion parameter model, released just 5 days later, match a 1.8 trillion parameter giant?
Well, the mechanism at the center of this whole firestorm is a technique known as model distillation. In traditional machine learning, getting a model to perform at the frontier requires gigawatt-scale data centers. You need thousands of restricted NVIDIA GPUs running for months.
Right, the $500 million we just talked about.
Exactly. But distillation entirely bypasses that physical bottleneck.
Okay, I was trying to wrap my head around the technical breakdown of this from the sources. It sounds to me like Anthropic spent $500 million building a world-class university to teach a genius student over 4 years. And Moonshot just stood outside the university window with a microphone, recorded all the lectures, and used those recordings to teach a smaller student for pennies on the dollar.
That captures the dynamic perfectly, honestly, because through public cloud APIs, a developer can systematically query the massive superior teacher model. They feed it millions of complex prompts, harvest the really high-quality reasoning outputs, and then use that generated text as synthetic training data for their much smaller student model.
Wow. So the student is literally learning from the teacher's answers.
Yeah, the student model learns to replicate the reasoning capabilities, the stylistic nuances, and the domain expertise of the teacher. And they do it without requiring the massive capital expenditure to discover those patterns from scratch.
I'm stuck here, though. I mean, if I look at two college essays, I can clearly see if one student copied another. But we're talking about a black box of billions of numerical weights here. How on earth do forensic auditors actually prove a model cheated? A microphone outside a window is one thing, but how do you mathematically prove distillation?
And that is exactly where the independent data forensic researchers stepped in on July 21. They deployed what are known as LLM as a judge protocols.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Well, instead of using standard public benchmarks, which, you know, any model could just memorize, they fed both KimiK3 and Fable thousands of non-public, highly convoluted edge case prompts. They were looking for identical reasoning errors, shared stylistic quirks, and highly specific vocabulary choices that just shouldn't naturally occur in two independently trained systems.
And they found them. But the architectural reports dive even deeper into how this extraction actually works on a technical level, specifically mentioning things like logits and soft targets. I mean, when I type a prompt to do an AI, it just gives me a word. What is a logit and how does it help clone a model?
So when a large language model evaluates your prompt, it doesn't just instantly select one word. It generates unnormalized probability scores. Those are the logits across its entire vocabulary. It essentially assigns a percentage chance to every possible next word it knows.
Okay, let me see if I get this. So if the prompt is, the sky is, it might assign a 90% probability to blue, a 5% probability to overcast, and maybe a 0.01% probability to neon.
Precisely. That's exactly the concept. Now, as a casual user, you only ever see the final most probable word, in this case, blue, that is called a hard target.
Okay, hard target.
But the underlying soft targets, which are the probabilities assigned to the second, third, and fourth most likely words, those contain the model's actual reasoning landscape. It reveals how the model maps the relationships between concepts and how it evaluates ambiguity.
Oh, wow. And according to the analysis, if a competitor accesses the API and cranks up a setting called the temperature, it basically flattens that probability distribution, right? It forces the teacher model to spit out those hidden secondary and tertiary choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And once an extractor forces the model to reveal that underlying distribution, they apply specific mathematical formulas to their own training pipeline. The key one mentioned in the reports is the Kullback-Leibler, or KL divergence loss function.
KL divergence. Okay, you're going to help me visualize that one.
Think of KL divergence as a mathematical rubber band connecting the two models.
Yeah.
It measures the difference, the stretch between the teacher's probability distribution and the student's distribution.
Right.
During training, the algorithm constantly pulls on the student's internal numbers, minimizing that stretch, until the student's probability shape perfectly matches the teacher's. So you are transferring the implicit reasoning structure of a 1.8 trillion parameter model directly into a 70 billion parameter architecture with mathematical precision.
That is just wild. But, you know, we do have to look at Moonshot's defense here to be totally balanced, because they categorically deny any cyber breach or data theft. They didn't hack into Anthropic servers. They claim this benchmark parity is just the result of natural convergence and legitimate engineering.
Yeah, they state they used automated machine verifiers and human domain experts to rigorously filter the synthetic data, which, to be fair, is a legitimate scientific advance in data curation.
So I have to push back on the outrage a little bit here.
Yeah.
If Moonshot just purchased public API access to Fable, isn't that just using a commercial product as intended?
Mm.
Like, if I pay a consultant a fee, ask them a question, and learn from their answer,
yeah.
I'm not stealing, I'm just learning. Why is this being treated as a massive federal crisis rather than just, you know, a simple terms of service violation?
This raises an important question, and it represents the exact pivot point where this stops being a civil contract dispute and becomes a full-blown international geopolitical flashpoint.
Right.
In a strictly domestic scenario, Western AI labs explicitly prohibit using their generated outputs to train competing models in their terms of service. But those terms are functionally meaningless across borders. The legal reality is that enforcing a U.S. civil contract against a foreign entity with no physical assets in the United States is basically impossible. Chinese courts do not enforce U.S. civil judgments based on API contract breaches.
So Anthropic's lawyers are essentially powerless. They literally can't sue their way out of this.
Exactly, which is why the United States government stepped in.
Yep.
Because the legal avenues are closed, the U.S. is fundamentally changing how it classifies this technology. They are now treating neural network weights as physical weaponry.
Wow.
Historically, U.S. export controls like ITAR and EAR regulations, those were designed for physical goods, radar systems, aerospace alloys.
Right, and then the focus shifted to semiconductors. Hmm. We had the CHIPS Act, the export bans on ASML lithography machines, blocking NVIDIA H100s from reaching mainland China. The whole strategy was to create a physical hardware bottleneck.
But algorithmic model distillation completely neutralizes that hardware bottleneck. You don't need to smuggle a single physical microchip across a border if you can just extract the synthesized software intelligence over the internet. So to combat this, the government utilized a massive legislative loophole.
The NDAA.
Yes. The recent National Defense Authorization Act classified advanced foundation models as dual-use national security assets.
And the threshold they set for that classification is any model trained on over 10 to the 26th power FLOPs. Which, just for context, a FLOP is a floating point operation. It's a basic calculation. So 10 to the 26th power is 100 million billion calculations. It's the scale of compute where an AI stops being a helpful chatbot and becomes a system capable of, you know, designing novel bioweapons or conducting automated cyber warfare.
Right. And once a model crosses that 10 to the 26th threshold, it falls under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, or IEPA. This grants the executive branch sweeping national emergency powers.
Which brings us to the Treasury.
Exactly. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen issued a stark warning that they are evaluating secondary financial sanctions. They are threatening to cut Moonshot and potentially its massive corporate backers like Alibaba and Tencent entirely off from the global SWIFT banking network. Furthermore, they would ban Western cloud providers like AWS, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud from hosting or servicing any of their traffic.
I mean, that is the nuclear option of international finance. But practically speaking, how do you even enforce a cloud ban? It's just software talking to software.
It creates an absolute operational nightmare. It's the ultimate game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I bet.
The macroeconomic reports detail how developers anticipating these sanctions routinely route their API calls through really complex architectures. They use virtual private networks, encrypted proxy chains, and shell companies incorporated in neutral jurisdictions like Singapore, the UAE, or the Cayman Islands.
Oh, so they just hide their location.
Completely. These multi-layered proxies obscure the true geographic origin of the developer making the query. The Treasury Department might see an API request coming from a server in London, but the actual developer pulling the data is sitting in Beijing.
So if the government can't easily catch them at the border, how are the tech companies themselves fighting back on the front lines? Like, what are they doing?
Well, American labs are pioneering aggressive, real-time technical defenses. One of the primary tools rolling out right now is Know Your Developer, or KYD, protocols.
KYD.
They analyze query frequency, semantic patterns, and the sequence of tokens being requested in real time. If the system detects an automated query distribution that matches the statistical footprint of model distillation, it instantly revokes the API keys.
Wow.
And beyond behavioral monitoring, they are deploying enterprise data loss prevention using cryptographic algorithmic watermarking.
I was absolutely fascinated by this when reading the technical teardowns.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, traditional data loss prevention, or DLP, looks for static things, like a credit card number or a piece of proprietary source code leaving a server. But you can't do that with AI because it generates entirely new text every single time.
Right. It's dynamic.
So algorithmic watermarking, it sounds like a cryptographic acrostic. Like, imagine reading a perfectly normal paragraph, but if you take the first letter of every sentence, it spells Anthropic. The casual user just reads a helpful answer, but the creator actually hit a pattern in it.
That is an excellent analogy. Instead of letters, the AI subtly perturbs the token generation probabilities using a secret cryptographic key. It injects an imperceptible statistical signature directly into the mathematical distribution of the generated text. And here's the really critical part. That signature is inherited.
Inherited? What do you mean?
When a competitor distills those outputs to train their student model, the downstream neural weights absorb that cryptographic watermark. So forensic researchers can later extract it and verify its presence with mathematical certainty in a sanction hearing.
Okay, but wait. There is a terrifying flip side to this inheritance thing. Because if the hidden watermark gets passed down through distillation, what else gets passed down?
And that is the cybersecurity risk known as supply chain contagion. When a student model maps its internal logic to a teacher model, it absorbs everything blindly. That includes all systematic flaws, algorithmic hallucinations, and security vulnerabilities.
Oh, man.
Yeah. If the $500 million teacher model has an undisclosed backdoor or a subtle prompt injection flaw, distillation copies that exact vulnerability. It bakes it into the foundational weights of thousands of downstream student models deployed globally.
So a single undiscovered exploit in one American frontier model could suddenly and simultaneously compromise foreign government networks, enterprise software, hospitals, banks, literally anything running the distilled clones. The vulnerability just scales instantly.
It scales instantly across borders, yes.
Which brings up another huge issue. What does this all mean for the broader AI community? Because for the last few years, the biggest driving force of innovation has been the open source or technically open weight dream. You know, companies like Meta with their Llama models or Mistral in Europe, releasing these powerful AI models for developers to just download freely.
The consensus among industry critics in our sources is that the open weight dream is facing an existential crisis. The core issue here is strategic free riding.
Free riding.
Yeah. When frontier labs spend hundreds of millions to release open weights, competitor firms leverage that transparency to train closed proprietary models. They extract the value without contributing back to the fundamental research costs. The intense pressure of this dynamic means U.S. labs are being forced to lock everything behind closed, heavily monitored APIs.
So what does this all mean? I mean, if these labs are locking everything down behind fortified APIs because the models are so easily cloned, what does that actually do to the economics of the entire industry? Because over the past 3 years, venture capitalists poured over $100 billion into AI startups, basically assuming these companies were building impenetrable, durable technological moats. They were pricing these labs at like 50x revenue multiples.
Well, the Kimi K3 incident fundamentally shatters that economic assumption, because if a $500 million frontier model can be mathematically cloned for a few hundred thousand dollars in API computing fees, the economic incentive to fund the initial foundational research just evaporates.
Right. Why do the hard work?
Yeah, exactly. Why spend $500 million mapping the frontier if a competitor can just map your results for a fraction of the cost 5 days later? Goldman Sachs is actually warning that venture capital firms will now demand intense intellectual property audits and proven API defense capabilities before they even think about investing. We are looking at a potential severe crash in early stage AI valuations because the supposed moat was just a mirage.
And while Silicon Valley venture capitalists are panicking about their valuations, China is making a massive coordinated countermove of their own. To insulate themselves from the threat of Western cloud bans and treasury sanctions, Beijing is accelerating what they call the East-to-West Data Transfer Project.
Yes, and this is a fascinating macroeconomic shift. Training these models requires immense amounts of electricity, which is quickly becoming the primary bottleneck for AI scaling globally. So China is building massive state-subsidized supercomputing clusters in its western provinces, specifically places like Guizhou and Inner Mongolia.
Because out there, they can utilize abundant, incredibly cheap hydroelectric and solar power. The reports show this geographic shift cuts AI training electricity costs by up to 40%. But, you know, a data center is totally useless without the chips to run the calculations. Mm-hmm. If they are banned from buying advanced NVIDIA hardware, what are they actually putting in these massive facilities?
They are deploying domestic hardware alternatives, primarily the Huawei Ascend INC accelerators. Now, while individually they might not yet match the absolute peak performance of NVIDIA's flagship chips, Huawei is manufacturing them at scale. By combining these domestic chips with subsidized energy, China is building a completely independent sovereign cloud infrastructure. They are actively engineering an immune system against U.S. Treasury sanctions.
Which forces us to look at another massive pivot happening in the technology sector right now, the sudden surge of Web3 and decentralized AI, or DAI. We are seeing a massive rally in decentralized physical infrastructure networks known as DPEN platforms like Render and Bittenser.
And this pivot is driven by pure survival instinct. Developers building AI applications are terrified of getting caught in the crossfire of these sanctions.
Of course, yeah.
If you build your entire business on AWS or Google Cloud, a single Treasury Department memo could instantly shut off your access. To mitigate that single point of failure, developers are fleeing centralized clouds for permissionless, blockchain-based compute networks.
And the mechanics of how these decentralized networks avoid sanctions are just brilliant. Instead of renting a server in a massive Amazon data center, a developer encrypts their AI training workload, breaks it down into thousands of tiny pieces, and distributes it across the globe. It gets processed by independent data centers, crypto miners, and even like high-end gaming PCs in random countries.
Right, it's completely fragmented.
Exactly. The network pays those independent operators in crypto tokens for their compute power. So the U.S. Treasury can sanction a corporation like Amazon all day long, but they cannot effectively sanction a decentralized protocol where the processing is fractured across 10,000 anonymous GPUs worldwide.
The irony there is profound, honestly. The threat of an AI Cold War is inadvertently acting as the greatest catalyst for the mass adoption of decentralized Web3 infrastructure we have ever seen. It is literally forcing the internet to route around the geopolitical roadblocks.
So, bringing this all back home to you, the listener, How does this massive geopolitical chess match actually impact the technology you use every single day?
Mm.
Well, first, expect intense friction. Those know your developer protocols we discussed. The identity checks are going to trickle down to everyday users. You can expect to jump through rigorous bank-level identity verification hoops just to sign up for advanced AI tools.
Yeah, that friction is going to become the new normal.
And second, the golden age of downloading powerful, free, open-source AI models to just run on your local machine is likely coming to a close. The models will be locked behind corporate firewalls.
Furthermore, if you travel, or if your company conducts business internationally, particularly in the Middle East or Asia, you are going to experience severe regional tech fragmentation. Software enterprises in those regions that previously relied on cost-effective Western APIs now face secondary sanction risks. They will be forced to either pay massive compliance premiums for Western cloud services or adopt sovereign, locally trained models. The whole vision of a seamless global internet of AI is just fracturing into isolated, competing digital blocks.
Which perfectly summarizes the incredible journey we've taken today. We started with a single, seemingly harmless API request on a public cloud server. We followed that data as it mathematically cloned a $500 million neural network, watched it trigger federal emergency powers, and arrived at the brink of a global financial and technological trade war.
It serves as a stark reminder that the nature of global conflict has fundamentally evolved. The ultimate victor in this era won't just be the entity that writes the most sophisticated algorithms, but the one that can effectively defend its invisible data assets while navigating a fractured global infrastructure.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, and it's a thought I want to leave you with today. Throughout this deep dive, we focus heavily on defense. We've talked about models being locked down in secure data centers, the death of open source collaboration, and the internet splintering into isolated national firewalls.
Right.
But let's remember why humanity started building artificial intelligence in the first place. We built these systems to solve incredibly complex, borderless problems. Things like real-time climate change modeling, predicting the spread of global pandemics, and accelerating revolutionary drug discovery. The tragic irony is that the very power of this technology is forcing governments to lock it away in dark rooms. We had to wonder what happens to the future of global scientific progress and our ability to solve species-level threats when the smartest minds on the planet are legally forbidden from talking to each other. It turns out an invisible border might be the most dangerous kind of all. Thank you for joining us on today's deep dive. Keep questioning the technology you use every day, and we'll catch you next time.